From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 10th day of March 2017. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. A bit later in the program, we will catch up with Matt Bennett for sure today. He's at Bennett Consulting, Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois. And as we close out our time together, we'll discuss the agricultural weather forecast with Eric Snodgrass from Agrible, and it all happens on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. On this Friday afternoon, the 10th day of March, we're joined by Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting out of Atchison, Kansas, to take a look at the marketplace. Good afternoon to you, Michael.
Happy Friday once again, Todd. Great to see you and everybody there at the Covington Beef House. Great turnout as usual.
And it was really good to have you in. Glad that you and Dan Zwicker both, who come great distances to see us, are able to make it in for that event. I have yet to post that up to our website, but I think over the weekend, Michael, I'll probably get those programs up on the website so folks that weren't there can take a listen to them, and I urge them to do that at willag.org. Now, between the time that we met on Tuesday at the All Day Ag Outlook and today, things changed a little, mostly because the USDA and CONAB numbers were out yesterday. What did you think of those?
Well, I think the end of the week trade here, it wasn't the post-report reaction, wasn't the pile driver it could have been, and that's probably first and foremost, with the technicals being probably the biggest feature to how we're likely to trade in terms of the funds and whether they're still participating in the inflationary bias that they've picked up since the beginning of the year. But I would say, Todd, if you looked at the report at the surface, it was very negative supply-wise for corn and beans. It was somewhat negative by taking world wheat ending stocks up to 250 million metric tons. But if you drill down into the numbers, not taking away from all the negativity, but realizing that the global stocks to use ratios barely moved from February to March's report, says that you had a very strong demand base get even stronger as the supplies increased. And so the low prices are curing low prices. And so what we talked about mostly on the corn panel between Wayne and Dan and I was the U.S. dollar. And my input was the USDA is banking on a stronger U.S. dollar through 2017 calendar year into 2018. They could be very wrong on their demand numbers if they're wrong on the dollar. And I think they are. I think that's where the U.S. dollar right now helped us a lot with the Federal Reserve rate coming next week. There's one more hurdle to jump, but I think at the end of this week with the jobs report, the fact that that 101.25 you were talking about in the March index is within a tick of the March monthly low, I think the dollar could play a much more supportive role because we are seeing better demand, livestock demand, grain demand across the board. And that's one of the features I think the report showed that maybe we didn't get a chance to look at initially.
Yeah, no, I took a look before we went on the air at the weekly charts for the lead and then the May contracts as well as decent November. And it looks like, and you can tell me more about the technicals, just a rough estimate because I don't draw lines in or it didn't take time to, that everything's on the bottom end of the trading range or the uptrends, but that they did not break through that. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct. And, you know, you're talking about support trend lines in the wheat and the beans on the weekly chart. You're talking about the 40-week moving average on the corn lead month chart. You're talking about closing back above the 200-day moving average in the Dease corn. And so I think, you know, we're not out of the woods, but I think this report was negative enough supply-wise, especially when, you know, USDA throws 108 million tons of beans at you, and then they throw 38% more corn production at you between Argentina and Brazil versus last year's production for those two countries. If you can get through the middle part of next week with a little bit of wheat weather and a continued break in the dollar, which it's now going through the March lows as we talk here on the live radio, I think you've got a scenario building where that inflationary trade may come in here and support the market. Does that mean you rally? No, I'm not saying that, but I think it goes back to what you just said, that we are down in the prices that should be support levels, again, because the demand has held. The only thing I'll put out as a caveat, having said that, is that last year on March 10th, lead month beans were trading 880 and were $1.30 above that level. So that's where fundamentally I still am in the camp that bean rallies especially need to be protected and need to be hedged, because we do have a premium of some sort in that soybean complex.
How concerned are you that crude oil in the lead and all the months, April, May, June, are below $50 a barrel now?
Well, I'm glad it's happening, because the funds versus the fundamentals were getting sideways and getting put backwards. And we had this same extreme last year, and that's what took our prices down in the mid to upper 20s a barrel, except it was the opposite extreme. And so I'm glad we're correcting, because supply-wise, we're just building too many supplies. And the market signal by taking us up to $55, almost $60 a barrel was keep pumping, keep pumping. We don't want the supply side to keep pumping. We want the demand to catch up. So this is where it's probably the major feature to how good of a market we could have in the middle part of the year. In other words, if the dollar continues to break, I get less nervous about the crude oil breaking, because in fact, the crude oil breaking will encourage even more demand, because in dollar terms, it's getting cheaper. If the Brazilian currency strengthens, that helps us, you know, dramatically keep our market share for corn and soybeans. Argentina weather is 30 days down the pike. So crude oil could be an extremely negative force if the dollar turns around and goes higher and that opposite correlation or relationship develops. But right now, I think it's more healthy than it is more negative, but it clearly needs to be watched. I think the crude oil is one of the first things to watch. And I think how we get through this North Korean issue with South Korea throwing out their president, with China saying that North Korea and the United States are on the brink of war, we do not want the Chinese currency to weaken dramatically here in the next several months, because that opens up another Pandora's box. So many, many paths to me lead back to the dollar at this point, Todd.
So the dollar is the king in this marketplace for you.
And the USDA's made it that way. I think that's how I look at it, between the baseline numbers. I mean, look at this week. Here we had 153 million more pounds of red meat and poultry put on the market by the USDA, but yet they cut the demand for feed and residual for corn. And so there's got to be something in there. And why did they cut the bean exports? I think all these things go back to the U.S. dollar and how they're looking at it.
What's your expectations over the next month? And producers in particular, I'm thinking, with corn in the bin.
I think we could get a wheat rally next week. If we don't get a wheat rally next week, it's going to be real tough to get any kind of better than 20-cent rally out of the markets before the acreage report. Because one thing this report did do that I didn't like was, by taking this production of beans and corn up so much in South America, it really took away any acreage battle in the near term. So we really need wheat weather, and we need South American weather to come back and help us.
It takes us to the Plain State, a little drought. You've had some rough weather out in Oklahoma and in the Panhandle, high winds, and the livestock have been hurt pretty dramatically, beef in particular.
And the wheat has gone down. So, you know, this is where you can see they're not really looking at the demand side or the potential future supply side. They're looking at other factors. And I think one of the greatest things that happened this week, and maybe the trade caught wind of this, is the World Agricultural Outlook Board did put out a fresh drought analysis. Plus, they put percentage of corn and bean acres around the country in drought currently. You know, you've got Missouri at 70%, Illinois at 15%, Kansas at 51%, and Colorado, which is a smaller state, but still 67%. And even, you know, you've got Texas at 2% in the drought as far as the corn production areas. So I think this becomes a bigger and bigger player. And I think, again, like we talked about at the meeting, I think wheat really needs to lead the weather rally, not the corn or the beans.
Remind me, I think both corn and soybeans were 11% geographically nationally in drought conditions. Is that right for where they would be grown?
Exactly right.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else to add before I let you go for the day?
Yeah, I would say this crude oil break. You know, we've seen a new four-month low in crude, a new four-month low in heating oil, which is your diesel. I'll be looking to lock in some spring cash fuel needs probably by the end of next week.
Hey, thanks so much, and we'll talk with you again in a week.
Thanks for everything, Todd.
You too. That, of course, is Mike Zuzulo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting.
This is Jim Angel, state climatologist for the Illinois State Water Survey at the University of Illinois Prairie Research Institute. All the mild weather is about to change. So far, the statewide temperature for March is 44.2 degrees, and that's 7.2 degrees above normal. Precipitation has been widespread in March. Areas in northern and central Illinois have received between 0.25 and 1 inches of precipitation, while areas south of Interstate 70 have received between 0.5 and 2 inches. The U.S. Drought Monitor introduced moderate drought into parts of western and southwestern Illinois. It may be premature to use that term drought in those areas. While it has been dry, there has been no reported impacts on crops, water supplies, or river navigation. Also, recent rains have helped with soil moisture. In the near term, colder air out of Canada has spilled across the central U.S., leading to widespread risk of frost damage to winter wheat and fruit trees. Lows Saturday and Sunday mornings will drop into the teens in the northern half of the state and into the 20s in the southern half. Daytime highs on Saturday and Sunday will be in the low 30s across Illinois. The cold air will linger through at least Wednesday with highs in the 30s and 40s and lows into the teens and 20s. There are chances of snow through Tuesday throughout the state with no significant accumulation expected. But hey, this is spring in Illinois. This is state climatologist Jim Angel.
Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report. Let's check in with Matt Bennett now. He's at Bennett Consulting, Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois, to take up the cash grain market. Good afternoon to you, Matt. Back in the great state of Illinois, huh?
Yeah, I'm back in the area for the afternoon anyway. So the speaking season's about over. I've got, three or four more next week, and I'll be done trying to get as ready as what I can get to plant here for two off along.
And then I bet you will be pulling the tractor out and the planter out and getting things greased up and ready to roll. Tell me about this week in the marketplace and the way you saw things as they transpired.
Well, definitely not a great week. You know, obviously we had some pressure on the market, beans with over 30-cent losses, you know, corn in the teens as far as losses. I mean, I don't know. It's pretty tough to see a market right now that's basically shifted focus. It kind of appears to me from more of a demand-based approached a little bit more looking at supply this week, especially after the report yesterday. You know, a lot of focus on the South American crop sizes, which really haven't been any secret by any means, with Brazil, you know, looking like they're going to have one heck of a corn and soybean crop this year. You know, we've known that for a while now.
And does it make you think differently about your marketing plans? You've been a pretty good sized advocate of getting things sold.
Yeah, I mean, we've definitely been a pretty big advocate there. We feel pretty comfortable with where we're at. I mean, we've covered, a sizable amount of soybeans, on our cash sales. We've, around 30% of cash sales. But for the producers willing to do so, you know, we've got floors under the rest of the beans we thought we were going to produce. So, we've done those. We've had those done for a fair amount of time at this point. So, you know, on corn, you know, selling some Deese corn, it seemed like a pretty good idea to us in that $4 range. We started below $4, sold a little at $4, and then a little bit above $4 as well. So, you know, it's just a straight up hedge. I think it makes pretty good sense. I don't know that I want to stay short the market on a net basis going into the acreage report, but you know, right now, obviously, it doesn't look like it's such a bad place to be, because I do think that there's a lot of producers that at normal yields can make decent money at $4 Deese corn.
Hey, thanks for taking time with us today, and we'll talk with you next Thursday.
Hey, thanks, Don.
That, of course, Matt Bennett of Bennett Consulting Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois. This is the Closing Market Report on this 10th day of March 2017. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, joined now by Eric Snodgrass from Agrible. First, thanks for being over at the Beef House at the All Day on Tuesday of this week. I hope you enjoyed yourself.
Oh, it was fantastic. What a great group of growers. Really engaged, great questions. I love that when I get to give talks like that.
Can you give us kind of a big picture idea of where we are in the weather? This is one of those times of year when things change pretty dramatically.
Yes, and if you like change, get ready for it, because it's going to be a wild ride for the next 30 to 45 days. You know, we've had a really difficult time, honestly, when given the forecasts on trying to pinpoint what the rest of March and beginning of April are going to look like, because there's a lot of factors at play. The big one is, you know, most of winter was dominated by a really strong, what we call Pacific branch of the jet stream. And that's why California through Washington State and interior parts of the West have been so snowy. Well, that same pattern, you know, is pushed across the southern U.S. for most of winter. And that's why we really lacked the cold in February. But what has happened during that time is over the last 15 days or so, some really, really cold air has been pent up in the northern parts of Canada and western Canada. And over the next few days, that cold air is going to be unleashed across the northern tier states into the northeastern United States. So here's the thing, you know, in Champaign, we're sitting squarely on 5.3 inches of snow right now for the year. And we've got a system coming through that's going to get here tomorrow that is incredibly powerful. Now, it's not so much the strength of the low pressure system, which is what we usually talk about, but instead the strength of the high. That cold air sitting over Canada has built a dome of high pressure where the pressure values are right now at over 1,050 millibars. Now, in my world, that just means the pressure is incredibly high. And on the leading edge of that, we're going to get some really cold air that kind of moves in here for March. Now, remember, in March, you got some pretty high sun angles. That works really hard every day on keeping the temperatures warm. But this air is going to be cold. And as it comes through, we got some snow spreading across the Dakotas, into Iowa, parts of Nebraska, and then Missouri, southern Illinois, and then getting into where the Ohio and the Missouri River kind of come together. So the snow at the beginning is going to miss for us listeners here in central Illinois for the first round. But then we got a second system, a second one that comes through, and that low pressure system is going to give us the chance for getting a little bit more snow upstate. Maybe 1 to 3 inches of snow is what I'm calling for right now on Monday. So this is such a change after we had such warm temperatures. We were in the 70s in February, and now all of a sudden March gets here and we are on a roller coaster and we've got temperatures getting back below freezing and some snow to be talking about. So yeah, this, you're right, man. This is a time of year where things get crazy.
What are the big stories you see across the United States?
Yeah. So the big story, I think, over the last week has been what's happening with the drier conditions that have spread across parts of the Central Plains. So I think parts of Oklahoma and Kansas, a little bit in Nebraska and Colorado. There were some monstrous winds sustained at like 40 to 50 miles an hour that burned quite a few acres in the central part of the U.S. over the past week. And we also had some fires earlier in the week in Missouri, which is also in drought. Now, last week's drought monitor update, which is a great resource here, had drought creeping into the southern half of Illinois and the southern half of Indiana, as well as almost all of Missouri and a small part of southern Iowa. So we're talking here a big chunk of the Corn Belt, the southern part of the Corn Belt. Well, the newest update, because of the rain that was received in southern Indiana, has pulled them out of drought. The southern half of Illinois got a good dose of rain as well, which means we're just right now barely in the first stage of drought. And what I mean by that is, a good rain at the end of March or in April can wipe it out entirely. But as we talked about in detail at the All Day Ag Outlook, you know, we really focused on watching that drought and where it goes over the next 45 days, maybe over the next 60 days. Because if it's mid-May and I'm still talking about drought in Missouri and parts of southern Illinois, that is a cause for concern as it can spread with the right weather conditions during June and July. And that's something that we have to keep an eye out on. Right now, I'm not too worried about it. I'm keeping an eye out, but I will be watching that drought very closely in the coming days.
And finally, as we wrap up our time together, maybe we should do March, part of April, and then do you have an outlook as well into May, June, and July?
Yeah, so while March and April are going to be really a roller coaster ride with temperatures, we are getting some hints that the start of the growing season, so let's just call this, you know, the first couple of weeks of May getting through the month of June, looks to carry a warmer than average bias. Now, I'm not talking about massive heat waves, not talking about 100 degree temperatures just yet. Nobody can figure that out at this point. We're just looking at the overall patterns suggesting that we might see a slight warm bias to the start of the growing season. And if that starts off in June, you know, there's a pretty good chance that it carries over into July and even into August. Now, is that cause for concern? You know, a little bit of warmth is fine. It's actually great for our crops. The concern is over the precipitation. And if we get into a dry spell there at the end of June and for the first couple weeks of July, that could be really tough. And right now, there's just not enough long-range guidance for me to tell you one way or the other what I'm expecting for June and July precipitation. My long-range systems right now are not seeing any major stress, but that's a really challenging thing to forecast at the beginning of March when you're looking, you know, a few months out for precipitation anomalies. So, yeah, great question, but there's still a little bit of kind of a few things there that kind of cloud my judgment on trying to figure out that June and July precipitation pattern just yet.
Thanks so much, and we'll talk with you again next week.
Great, thank you.
That's Eric Snodgrass. He's with Agrible, joins us on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.